Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, telling you that perhaps this is one of my favorite times of the week, and I have brought along one of my perhaps special people and friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Now, aren't you glad he's with us, too? Now, if you get our emails, you know that our guest tonight is Dolores Cannon. And if you don't get our emails and you want to sign up for our emails, Richard, tell the audience how they can sign up for our emails.
Indeed. If you go to, if you go to the2012countdown.com and you can enter your name and email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website and click on the link in the email that comes to you and all will be done.
Just that simple. We make it easy. And so, Richard, our guest tonight is Dolores Cannon. Have you been connected with her?
Yes, she. I connected with her just a couple of minutes ago, and she she said, "I've been watching you today. You've been very busy."
Oh.
Which is true, I have.
Yes, you have.
So, let me connect with the detail of her energy. The primary experience I have of her is love. You could say pure and simple, but that would not do it justice. There is this, just this beautiful love coming forth. Yes, there are traces of wisdom as I experience it, but ultimately it's love. There is a purity in her energy that's just beautiful. I'm not saying it's simple because it's not, but there is a purity about it. I suspect I had really no contact with her directly in life, though I have watched some of her videos and so on. And I suspect she didn't have a devious bone in her body. And energetically, that's what I experienced. There is this purity about her. This, you could mistake it for simplicity, but it's not really simplicity. It's purity. This beautiful love that is, as I say, I keep saying it, it has this purity with traces of wisdom. It's, there are other beings that I've connected with that have a much more focused, you might say, sense of love and more powerful. I'm not saying this is not strong, but it's not kind of overwhelming the way it can be. And there is kind of a breadth to it, but its essential nature is beautiful, simple love. So there you go.
I'll take a simple idea of love any day of the week.
Indeed you do and would. And that's what you communicate.
I hope so. So, for those who are listening to this, you might know what Dolores Cannon looks like. And if you do, put the picture in your third eye and your consciousness in the heart area, and perhaps you can feel and sense some of what is going on between Dolores and Richard. So, Richard, does Dolores have a message for us?
Let's see what she has to say. My dear friends, and I do consider many of you my friends because I realize many of you followed my work whilst I was alive on one level or another. And so I consider you my friends because of that, but also I realize that I have a deep connection with many of you that extends beyond this particular incarnation that you are in and I have just completed, you might say. And so I have greeted you in this manner. And in a way, it is like old home week for me because, as some of you may know, I had my own radio show on BBS for quite some time. And so it is like, as I say, old home week almost, coming back to this service, but in a very different form, in a very different expression. And as many of you will know, I crossed over quite recently. And in that crossing over, there were no surprises in terms of the process of crossing over, because I have shared with all of you that have listened to my work or read it about the process of crossing over, as had been explained to me through the work that I had done working hypnotically with my patients, and these beings would communicate to me through them. And so none of this was a surprise to me, and I'm pleased to say that that is so. I have been through the life review process, and for me it was relatively short because I lived my mission so fully. I did exactly what I had planned to do, and I did it with an honesty, an integrity, a humility that I am actually very proud of, because these things are hard to sustain when you become well known in the world. There are elements of that consciousness that can easily entrap one. And as I reflect how I lived my life, I am satisfied that I sustained that humility. I only ever saw myself as the spokesperson, you might say, the conduit by which this information could be shared. And so I worked very hard to do that to the best of my ability and, you might say, keep my ego out of the road. So I did not take this to be in any manner something special about me, but a role that I had chosen to take on before I came forth. And indeed, as I have crossed over, that has all been confirmed to me. So, as I said, the consequence of this is that my life review was quite short because I lived very much in alignment with my mission. But there have been a few surprises in terms of the understandings that have come to me. And as I said, I find that I am far more closely connected to many that will be listening to this radio show live or listening to the recording, because I had no understanding of this whilst I was alive, but I realize now I was an incarnated cherubim angel, and I had come forth to bring the understandings that I brought and to share them with the world to the best of my ability. And I recognize the roles now that you are all playing in this time of preparation. And I see that there are other cherubim in the world that are not as closely connected to this work as you all are, who are doing things not dissimilar from me in the sense that they are bringing forth understandings and information about the past or about how life really works and so on. And all of these pieces, you might say, are being brought forth in this time to act as, you might consider, pieces of a puzzle that come together to form a mosaic that is important in this time of transition. I understood from my work that there had been the time in Atlantis and the fall from it for reasons that I had not fully understood. I knew that in some manner humanity had gone off track, but I didn't understand exactly how or what that was about. But I do understand it a little better now. And I also had come to the understanding that humanity lived in a time when there would be a transition to, you might say, a more advanced consciousness. One of the pieces that I had been given is that when humanity was created by those beings wishing to create humanity, it was created with a level of perfection that reflected all that was possible from the learnings, from the experiences that had preceded it. And so humanity was to carry a perfection, and it was to understand and practice how to bring forth anything from the background energy field, to manifest whatever you chose, and in ways you can do it in that current consciousness if you practice it and trust your ability to do so. I called this the law of attraction because that is what many call it, but really I see that the true possibility of this is much greater than simply attracting what you want, but in fact the ability to actively manifest it is something that has to an extent been lost for humanity, and it is part of what will be reclaimed. And so this perfection where the physical body did not degrade and hence you did not die, you did not cross over until you chose to, this was always part of the plan for humanity, and indeed it is what existed in the early times of Atlantis until things began to go off track. But of course you don't have that today, and I realize that this new consciousness that is planned is the recovery process of that state. So I understood this, but I did not truly understand how it would unfold. I also understand that, like pretty much everybody in that consciousness, I was impacted in my understandings to an extent by the experiences or the views or the beliefs that existed in that consciousness. And that is, I misunderstood some things about the nature of karma and the wheel of karma and people returning to that experience for the learning of lessons until everything was learnt, until they could move on. I do recognize that souls came together as groups, you might say, and played all sorts of different roles together, and I spoke about this. But I now recognize that there has been this cycle since the fall in Atlantis where this accumulation of negative past life karma has been occurring in a manner that is unique. And so there is, for certain, on a level, this notion of what goes around comes around within creation. But I also recognize that the simple process of forgiveness, forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, simply clears in that action the negativities that would normally arise within a given moment, within a given lifetime. And this accumulation of negative energies from past lives is unique to that experience. I also understood from my work that people would keep coming back and repeating things. What I hadn't understood was that they were seeking to trigger, providing a pointer, you might say, to energies that needed to be cleared from the past. And so I had got a little caught up in the notion of lessons needing to be repeated till they got learnt. But I don't beat myself up about that, because we all can do the best we can do in the circumstances. And I'm very pleased with the contribution that I was able to make to people. I feel I brought forth a tremendous array of understandings about the nature of life, about the nature of creation, about how the human population is overseen by some very positive beings. I also recognize that I did not really understand how the dark had been interfering with humanity. And on some level, I feel, though I haven't completely investigated this as yet, I feel that I was shielded from this knowledge, this interference process that had been set up with humanity, because it was not my focus. My focus was to bring forth positive understandings, for humanity to understand the positive side, because in a way it formed part of the platform upon which humanity would step forward. And from where I now view things, I have been able to begin to understand this interference with humanity and the many aspects as to why this interference has occurred, because there are a number of reasons for it. Some of them many of you will be familiar with in terms of harvesting human energies. And that is a story that many of you know more about than I ever understood in life, and am in many ways pleased I did not spend any of my energy focused upon those things. It would have distracted me from what I was bringing forth. I also now understand the importance and the, you might say, specialness of the time in which you all live, this time of transition to a new consciousness, a time when you will escape from that dense, difficult consciousness where everybody loses their memories when they come into that environment. I understood this also and spoke about it quite a deal. But I hadn't understood that this was simply part of the experience since the fall in Atlantis. And so I recognize that this too will dissolve and disappear. So, as I say, there were some pieces of the broader puzzle that I didn't understand when I was incarnate, and I see that really it was not my place to understand them. It would only have distracted from what I was there to do. And that, my friends, was challenging enough, believe me. I must say I was very excited to have been contacted by Nostradamus and to connect with him in his lifetime. And through many individuals, some 12 different individuals, I was able to bring forth what you might consider an interpretation of his quatrains, which I have published in some 3 books, and I feel very proud of that work. It was challenging work because there was a lot of information coming forth and it needed to be organized in a structured manner, because I certainly did not bring it forth from him in a structured manner. This all needed to be organized into the way it is now displayed. And I am very pleased with that work that I was able to do. Again, I recognize that so much that had gone before on my journey was preparation for this. All of these pieces came to me when I needed them. And this I understood very well as I went forth, in part because I could see it for myself, but also because those with whom I was working explained this to me, that they would, you might say, interrupt a session that I was having and send forth information that was important for me for my next book or for something I needed to understand in the work that I was doing. So I really had this wonderful sense of being taken care of as I walked that path, as I was given what I needed to be given each step of the way. And so even though what I was given didn't encompass every element of the human experience as it now is, in a way I see that as being a bonus, and I understand why I was shielded from some of that complexity, some of that darkness in the world, and why it's there and what it means. And in a way, I'm also pleased because, firstly, it was not my place to end it, and secondly, my work was really not about dealing with that per se, but rather bringing forth these broader understandings for humanity about what it means to be a human being, who you are, what your relationship is with the beings of light from the other side. And so, my friends, I say again to you, you live in a special time, and I encourage you to spend some time examining some of my work, whether it is simply watching some of the many videos that I put out, whether you listen to some of my radio show recordings, whether you read some of my books. It is a base that has been provided there for humanity, and particularly, of course, those who are involved with this transition in consciousness that is about to unfold in your world. These tools, in so many ways, I now recognize, are tools that firstly will help those of you who are most directly involved with this transition in terms of doing the energy work currently, but in time you will be teachers to much of humanity. And so my knowledge about the nature of the beings that support and interact with humanity is very valuable. The nature of that reality, as I understood it and expressed it, in large measure is very helpful to you, with the provisos that I have placed in terms of the broader understandings that have come to me since I have crossed over. And you would recognize that I am very recent in my crossing over, and so I'm still reorienting, you might say, even though the process was not the shock it is to so many souls, because I understood so much about it before I crossed over. And there was, you might say, a welcoming committee for me, a group celebrating my contribution. Many of those that I worked with through others came forth to connect with me as I crossed over, to make themselves better known to me. And this has been a very joyful experience. So I have been primarily focused on understanding the things I have just expressed to you, because you might find this strange. I knew that I was going to be asked to come forth on this radio show, and I wanted to be, as you might say, as informed as I could be about the new distinctions that I had gathered since I crossed over, before I came forth. Because what I wanted to give was information about the pieces that I had either not understood adequately in my lifetime, or areas that I had not in any manner addressed, which has been my primary focus in this message to you. And so I will now step back and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you both. And I invite any of the listeners who might have a question for Dolores to please call in. We will be accepting those now. And I have a question while we're waiting. For those individuals who may wish to work with energy, Dolores, which book would you suggest that they read to understand the process?
It is difficult for me to convey this exactly to Richard without him being familiar with the names of my books. What I encourage anyone who is interested in this to do is to pull up a list of my books, and there is a list on my website, and then follow your own guidance as to which of these books best addresses your interest, whether indeed it is the matter of working with energy specifically, or whether indeed it is one of the other areas that I covered. The book's titles are reasonably representative of the areas that they cover, but nevertheless, I encourage you to, as I say, use your intuitive guidance in choosing what it is you feel you should focus on, if you feel guided to do this, and you will choose correctly. Follow that guidance that everybody has, that intuitive guidance. It is something that I learnt to work with in my life and followed very closely, very precisely, you might say. I really came to understand that I was guided through that intuitive ability that everybody has. So I encourage you to use your own in deciding what of my work is most relevant to you.
Thank you. David from Washington is on line one. Your question, David.
Yes, thank you. Dolores, you had spoken of New Earth in some of your writings in the past, and I was wondering if since you've crossed over, you have any more you could say about that, or you've learned any more, or anything different that you could say on that subject of New Earth?
Good question, David.
Much of my discussion about the New Earth was talking about the transformation of the current Earth. In other words, I saw and understood that the path for humanity would be primarily moving forward on the current planet. And I spoke quite a deal about changes in the continents and so on, as a number of others have done. And I feel I was a little sidetracked in that understanding. And again, I mentioned earlier that there are areas where I feel I got somewhat, you might say, trapped by the common wisdom of others on the planet, so that it influenced, in a sense, where I focused and what I listened to and how I listened to things. And so I would say now that my perspective has shifted on this. Certainly the Earth as it is will continue to change, and there will be, as I see it, quite cataclysmic changes for the planet as it is, for many reasons, some of them human-induced, others not so. And there will be changes in continents, as a number have spoken of. But really, this is not the path of the future for humanity. The new Earth, as I would perceive it today, is rather more a higher dimensional expression of Earth that I now understand existed, has existed for a long time. And indeed, some of those more advanced beings from Atlantis stayed in that consciousness, you might say, and advanced with it to where that consciousness now is, because it continued to evolve. And so there was this split, you could say, where most of humanity fell in consciousness and stayed on this existing expression of Earth, because it essentially was the existing expression that fell to a new dimension, whereas part of it was actually split off energetically and began to drift to an even higher dimension than it was in the time of Atlantis. It perhaps might be hard for you to understand this, but it was like a parting of the ways back then. And so those of humanity who live on the current Earth feel like the Earth that existed in Atlantis is what you have now. And in a sense, that's true, and yet that's not the whole story. And so there has been this gap that opened at that time, and that gap in many ways has continued to widen, even though in recent times the energies of the current planet have been elevated through a lot of work. The gap between your current experience of Earth, the dimension in which you are, and that higher dimension is perhaps as large as it has ever been, because it continues to elevate also. So I understand that there will be this transition for those of humanity that choose to join this new consciousness, and that transition will be some years away. Again, I refer you to that recording of the show that these two did with Michael Jackson 2 or 3 months ago that you would be able to find on BBS Radio, or indeed I'm aware that they put these recordings on their website. So I encourage you to listen to that recording, because it is a very good expression of the process that humanity will pass through in its move to what I would more realistically now term the new Earth.
Thank you. Can you give us some thoughts? Can you give us some thoughts of how you perceive humanity in the near future, where we will be, our growth as humans?
I spoke in my work of advancement of humanity, and I recognize there are others also in the world that were speaking of this, coming from various places, including the two of you, though, as I said, I was not aware of your work when I was incarnate. And I will make a comment about this, because as I've come to understand it, what the two of you are doing has been intentionally kept quite low profile, that the core individuals that have connected with your work are those that are actually very directly associated with the work that is being done in preparation. But that will change. And so I see this continuing upliftment of the energy levels of the planet and of the consciousness in which you're in. It has changed enormously in the last 25 years, and especially in the last 2 years, or maybe 3 or so years. It has changed enormously. And in ways, this is exacerbating the activities of the dark upon the planet as they scramble to shut the door on humanity. And it also, of course, is helping to prepare for the transition that will occur. And so there will be this opening up of an expression of the perfected form that does not age for a human being. This form that existed in Atlantis will return, and the step for that will be what you have called rejuvenation, because in a sense it is that for most people, a return to a perfect form. It is hard to imagine how that can occur, because it is so enrolling, you might say, to consider the physical form as you see it to be solid and fixed in the aging process that people go through as being inevitable. And it seems so, but there is much more to the nature of consciousness and the way a physical form is expressed than most people even can begin to imagine. And so the notion of transforming the physical form from what you currently know to the form that existed before the fall in Atlantis is not so strange when you understand this fully. Indeed, it is all built into the system, you might say, and it just needs to be triggered. And so what will happen is, you might say, a doorway will open through which those who want to move forward can step. And as they take that step, they will step into the new consciousness which has already joined you. And as they do so, they will go through this physical transformation. And as has been said by others, those who make this step will be living in this world but not of it. They will be visible to those that have not made the transition. They will be able to communicate with them in both directions. But if anyone in the current consciousness tries to undertake any negative action towards anyone who's made that transition, they simply will not be able to. You will be fully protected in that new consciousness. So it will seem a little bizarre for a while until you get used to it. And so it will seem as if the world is being populated by this mixture of people, these individuals that carry this beautiful expression of love and physical perfection, and they will stand out. This love will pour forth from them. And those that have not made the transition will be starstruck by them initially. And it is partly to act as an encouragement for those who have not made the transition or connected with it or begin to really wake up and understand what is happening. It will be a trigger for them. And they can't be ignored, as I said, those who might try to kill those that have made this step or interfere with them in any manner, even electronically. This simply won't work. And so this signal, you might say, this stark evidence in the human experience will be there for everyone. And it will be there for a few years as more and more people make the step across. And the difference between the two experiences will become more and more stark until the moment is reached when it is decided, you might say, that it is time for those that have made the transition across to move on. And they will simply disappear from this current consciousness and, you might say, appear upon the new earth. It's kind of like that. I haven't fully understood it all as yet, but I'm simply sharing with you what my understanding is at this point. So this is the future that I see for humanity. This I am able to witness, and I have, needless to say, investigated this in quite some detail, given how close it is and, frankly, how connected my lifetime was to this unfolding.
Thank you. I listened to one of your videos today where you spoke of the Antichrist. Is there anything that you wish to discuss about that now?
It is my view that there is such an individual, but it has all been given so much power because of religion. I am of the view that this is not something that, in fact, will impact most of humanity. I do not see that model having any great power in the world beyond, you might say, the impact that is already in place by those of the dark. I am not of the view that this will unfold with perhaps the power that I thought it might when I was incarnate. It is something, as I said, that had a fair bit of my focus. And perhaps, given the understanding that I now have, I may have put too much focus on that in my life.
Thank you. Karen from Illinois is on line one. Your question, Karen.
Well, thank you, Dolores, Richard, and Carolyn. It's wonderful to connect with you. Dolores, I am a hypnotist and an energy therapist myself, and I love your hypnosis work and all of your books. So I have three short questions. The first, am I an incarnated cherubim?
I'm getting a yes to that.
Okay, thank you. The second is, was I a follower of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene in their time?
I'm getting a yes to that also. You were an Essene.
Oh, wonderful. I feel that. The third, is there more I need to do in this lifetime to help humanity with our ascension process.
Firstly, it is important for you to understand that all of the incarnated cherubim are doing key work that most do not understand, and that is, there was an agreement before you came forth that you would undertake your core work in the sleep state. And so, whilst many of the incarnated cherubim have not woken up to the truth of who and what they are, they have in fact been doing this core work in their sleep state. It was recognized in this choice that because of the nature of that consciousness, many would not awaken to who they were. And you could say, even though I fulfilled my mission, I had no idea who I was in this regard, and the fact that I too was doing this work in my sleep state whilst incarnate. So you are already doing that work. But what I would encourage you to do is more connect more directly to the work of the two running this radio show. And if you receive their emails, simply reply to one of them and you can communicate more directly with them through this process.
Thank you so much. I will do that. Blessings to all.
Thank you.
Thank
Richard, did you have a question for Dolores?
Oh, that's hard, but I'm I'm lost in the energy of connecting with her. Question for Dolores. I guess my question is, does she have any specific advice that she would give to us listening to her at this point, and also to humanity in general about this time that she has not already shared?
Good question.
I encourage all of you, if you have not already done so, to find out, just as Karen did, whether indeed you are an incarnated cherubim. And you can do this by simply sending an email to Richard. And I say this because almost everyone that will be drawn to listen to this radio show is an incarnated cherubim. These things are energetic in nature. It is why you are drawn to connect with this radio show, even though you may not have connected more directly with their work. And so my advice to you, if you don't already know this and you haven't already connected with their work, to take that step, to send Richard an email by replying to one of the emails that have been sent, because they will go back to him. It's the easiest way. And to humanity in general, I suspect humanity in general will not hear my words, but nevertheless, I would say to all of you that you are not just the physical human being that you take yourselves to be, and this is something I expressed in my work, and that is, you might say the physical body is just like a suit of clothes that you have chosen to wear in this particular incarnation. And whilst I do not encourage you to make light of this, what I'm really saying is that you all need to accept and understand that you are, as has been said by others, a spiritual being on a human journey, and not be persuaded by this scientific dogma, this scientific worldview that seeks to persuade you that you simply arose from amoeba through evolution to become the beings that you are, that this is the highest level that humanity has ever experienced on Earth, and that when you die, that's it. because that is so far from the truth that you cannot even begin to imagine. And so I encourage you to begin to contemplate the significance of my words, to begin to seek to understand what it truly means to be a human being, to begin to understand your spiritual nature, that you are a soul that has come forth and incarnated upon the planet, a finger of consciousness sent forth from your monad to live this experience. And you all have a mission of one sort or another to fulfill. And so begin to accept and understand the truth of what it means to be a human being. And the more that humanity does this, the more that every individual does this, the power that the dark have over humanity will be broken down, even within the current consciousness. So these would be my words to humanity in general.
Thank you. Maddie from Houston is on line one. Maddie, your question.
Hi. My question is, Dolores, you often talk about transformation as being a process of releasing the fear and the karma. And I wanted to know if you could talk a little bit more about the releasing the karma part. I am aware that sometimes in your lectures you give people an exercise they can do to assist with this. I wanted to see if you could elaborate on this more, or even if there was time to guide us through this exercise.
Thank you, Maddie, for your question, because it is a timely question and not something that I spoke to any degree about. Firstly, I will say that, as I said earlier, my understanding of karma was perhaps a little inaccurate in my lifetime, and my views and understandings were influenced by, you might say, the predominant beliefs on the planet about karma and its nature. But I will say that the understanding that I had of the importance of clearing negative past life karma was accurate. And there are two things that I would say about this. Firstly, you can, if you have the power, by that I mean if you choose the power in your life to transform your perception of the experience of life to such a degree, you can shift, in a sense, this karma and have it simply dissolve. So you can clear it in this manner. Secondly, there are processes that you can use, some of which I shared, and also some of the work that I would do in my hypnotherapy that would clear these energies or parts thereof. But as I have mentioned in my work, most people have had hundreds, if not thousands, of incarnations on Earth, and many of them have been since the fall in Atlantis, since lifetimes have been much shorter in this experience. This four score years and ten that is spoken of today bears no relationship to the thousands of years that you could live in Atlantis. So there have been far more incarnations, you might say, in this time where these energies have been accumulated. And so revisiting past lives is a process that is very difficult to go through and clear all of these one lifetime at a time. It's going to take many lifetimes to do. And I will mention that these two here have been given a command that they use in their work to clear all negative past life karmic energies that have been accumulated in this manner. And I was completely unaware of this in my work, and I now understand that today it is simply being used amongst the cherubim, but in time it will be used in ways that will clear these energies for everyone that will participate in these changes. And again, you can connect with their work, and I encourage you to do this as a way to take care of your own past, you might say.
Thank you very much.
Michael Ian from Washington is on line two. Michaeline, your question.
Hi, everyone. Dolores, I was wondering if there's anything new that you've learned about parallel dimensions.
Good question.
This has not yet been a core focus of mine. As you understand, I crossed over quite recently, and certainly it was a subject that I built some understanding of whilst incarnate. You might say understanding of the many dimensions that exist, and indeed what you might consider parallel realities that exist. I now understand much better the notion of how the human experience, the experience of Earth, is locked into the now, with, in general, far less access to the past and the future than, for example, I have now. And indeed, I opened the door to an extent through the work that I did. And so I understand that, you might say, the past exists at the same time as the present. All of this exists concurrently, certainly the past and the present. You might say the future is malleable, but indeed, from the context of a current lifetime or a current experience, the past is also malleable. And this is why you can undertake, you might say, clearings of the past, change the past energetically, and therefore impact your present through those changes. It is only because, in a sense, when you accept that you have a, you might say, a moment in which you exist, a now moment, which also applies to all of humanity, it's just, you might say, masked off from the human experience in large measure. You have to do some special things like hypnosis to access the past. So my understandings of this haven't really expanded to any great measure. I really did get some wonderful understandings about this from my work, and perhaps my work with Nostradamus is a good illustration of this, because I was very aware as I was working with him that, in fact, I was accessing the time when he was actually present. So it is an interesting subject. It is difficult for the human mind to grasp this. And in many ways, what humanity doesn't experience, doesn't recognize, is that there is value in this very sharp focus on the present, you might say, that you have, because it, in its own way, causes a level of focus that is difficult to sustain in other dimensions. The analytical skills, for example, that a human being has are really quite extraordinary, far greater than most beings elsewhere, because they have this much more, you might consider, spread out experience, whereas the human experience is far more focused. I will also say that there is a tendency that I recognized whilst I was incarnate that at the time I did not agree with, and that is this tendency to treat other beings as being more important, more powerful, you might say. And clearly there are those who were overseeing humanity and were more, in ways, more advanced, but in terms of who and what they are as souls, they are no more or no less valuable or important, or you might say special, than a human being. So it's important for humanity to stop putting others on a pedestal, you might say. I saw this as being a tendency, and I myself started out in that place, but I moved on from it. I accepted that I was just another soul like those who I was working with, and I was fulfilling a particular role. I know I've moved a little on from your question, but in a way it is connected.
Richard, we are at the end of our show.
Well, I thank all the questioners. I thank you, Carolyn, for making all of this possible, and I thank BBS for making it possible also. And Dolores, thank you for joining us in this way.
I agree. I thank everyone. Until the next time, we send you our love.